This is The Dig on the Huskers Radio Network podcast, powered by Emeritus, featuring Nebraska volleyball assistant coach Kelly Natter. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie.
Welcome into a postseason edition of The Dig. I'm Jessica Cootie and joined by Kelly Natter. Can you believe it's here? I feel like it's been a long season, but then it's also like gone really fast.
It's definitely been one of the fastest years of my entire career at Nebraska, and we're all trying to figure out why that is. I think, A, we're having so much fun, but B, our travel schedule is just crazy. It's not like you practice Monday through Thursday, play Friday, Saturday. It's game Wednesday, game Thursday, and then you turn around and travel, and you're away Saturday. It's just hard to get into a perfect weekly routine where things get monotonous. So I think that's made it go by really quickly.
Well, what a way to cap off just a magical season already with the, you know, final regular season weekend. You had already won the Big Ten title. You guys had to be pleased with the way that the team came in and closed it out. Senior day can be emotional, but just to come out and cap it off with the exclamation point that you did against Penn State and Ohio State, y'all had to be really pleased with this team's performance over the weekend.
Yeah, it was just interesting because, like, we had won the Big Ten and then we won it outright and then we get home and we have this celebration. But I feel like the last weekend at home in Devaney is always a very electric and special one. There's a gajillion different emotions because it's usually a deciding game for the Big Ten, and then we know we have senior night coming up and our players film videos kind of all week long. So the emotions are always very high. But I think that last weekend at Devaney, and then I know we did a big thank you to our fans and had some handwritten notes out for a couple people in Devaney. So I think it's just a very charged weekend and very fun, and I think there can be a lot of distraction, but our team came out, took care of business, and handled it very well.
One of the cool traditions, there's a lot of cool traditions, but one of them is the team decorates the seniors' lockers, right? Where did that start, and how long has that been going on?
I don't really know. I know, like, when I played, we would get little gifts and stuff like that. Everyone would kind of go in on something, but it feels like the last couple years, any holiday, any big birthday, any senior night like that, they just decorate the whole entire locker room. And I think 2 years ago, they had Christmas lights up on top of their lockers and all that stuff. So I feel like Allie Batenhorst really liked Christmas and liked to decorate, so she started that. But I think just the love of the seniors and the special night that senior night really is has really taken off, and so they've really taken off on their decorations and their celebrations as well.
Well, it was certainly special for Macy Bosiger as well, and she got the start at libero, but you could just tell how emotional she was, and as her position coach, how special was that to see her to be able to have that kind of night?
It was truly amazing, and just being a Nebraska girl myself and knowing her love for Nebraska volleyball and just all the time and effort she's put in. And I've been coaching, I think, since her freshman year, or maybe it was right around the same start, just like watching her growth and her maturity and the way she comes in every single day with a smile on her face. Like, anytime even I was having a bad day, I'm like, Macy, how's your day? And she goes, good. How was yours, Kelly? What did you do today? And just very, very good at uplifting those around her. Which is obviously has nothing to do with volleyball and is going to take her very far in life. But I think her work ethic and just the way she comes in every single day ready to get better, no matter if it's a Monday and she's tired or it's the last practice of the season, you could never tell with Macy. And that's why she made so much growth. But she truly earned it and deserved to be the libero, especially on senior night. And she came out and played absolutely amazing. And just watching her teammates even cheering for her and getting so excited for her was really an unforgettable experience.
Going back to the Penn State match, too, you guys had it rolling from the service line. How good was that to have that kind of performance from the service line, especially going into the NCAA tournament?
Really good, because serving, aside from passing, is one of the more mental skills. It's just you and the ball. The play stopped. That only happens when you serve. So it's a little bit, it can be difficult from the mental standpoint, like I said. So for us to come out and be confident and serve tough with pretty low air as well, it's hard to balance those two things. If you're serving tough, usually you have a couple more airs, but we want to be about a 1-to-1 ratio. And I don't know the stats for the weekend, but I felt like we were going for it and not making reckless or bad airs or scared airs. Sometimes there's times where you can tell that someone's a little bit nervous back there to serve and it just looks a little bit different, but we haven't really had any of those. So I think going into the tournament, service pressure is something you can control. So for us to be really confident in that right now and really locked in that right now is very encouraging going into the postseason.
It was 1-1 against Penn State.
Oh, perfect.
Because you taught me that, so I noticed that. So
good.
Virginia's serve, wow. I mean, that's like a kill. It's so hard and fast.
Yeah, we have messed with it a lot, just like the right speed for her to hit it and how much spin it has. Is it spinning or is it floating? She started when we were first working on her serve just hitting the absolute crap out of it. And then we're like, okay, we got to dial it back. And then it kind of just became a normal float serve. And then we dialed it back up. So there's a lot of trial and error that goes into especially her serve because she's so tall. She has the angle to have that downward trajectory. But, I mean, we've all seen when she just gets a hold of it and it goes a little bit too far. And then now we're starting to see a little bit more when she gets a hold of it and it's like, in perfect, completely unpassable. So I think there was a lot of trial and error for a very long time, and she's figuring it out at the perfect time.
And you guys, I feel like we've talked a lot about that on this show over the last 3 years. A lot of it too is just mentally, right? Feeling confident and comfortable with once you figure out what works best, then you just got to keep doing it to build that confidence, right? Because it's so mental back there.
Yeah, and it also depends on the point in the game and the new venue, and we change balls when we go to different venues, and every team has a different ball. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but once you get used to it and you're feeling confident, like you can make the ball move the way you want it to move without even like really doing anything physically. So we talk a lot about like how to make the ball drop or how to drive it to the back sideline. And once you get good and you get confident, you just like tell yourself that that's what's going to happen, and it just happens. And that's like a serving confidence mindset. Like, of course, something physically changes a little bit, but when you're back there and when you're feeling good and you just go back and you hit a short serve when no one gave you a short serve, it's just those are the types of serves we want to see, because that's the player feeling good and they're trusting what they can do with the ball rather than, okay, I just need to hit my zone that my coach gave me.
Fascinating. Well, Andy Jackson finishes the regular season, sets the highest single season hit percentage in Big Ten volleyball history, hitting .559. Can you put that into perspective?
Oh, gosh.
What? How hard that was, how impressive that number is.
Yeah, I think it's even more impressive because she's coming off of an awesome freshman year, an awesome sophomore year, first-team All-American, and still getting better. And I think it could be easy for her to be comfortable with her performance thus far, but I know her and Brennan, our new assistant coach, they've worked super, super hard on just consistency and their range and just different ways to attack the other side. Whereas Andy's so physical and she hits the ball so hard, sometimes she can get away with just hitting the same shot over and over and over because she's so tall and it can go over the block. But I think she's really worked very hard on her range and just different shots. But I think also mentally, you can tell she's a junior now. You can feel her maturity and just kind of her emotional regulation. She doesn't get too high or too low. And I think that has really contributed to her consistency and a couple matches with zero errors. I think one, maybe two matches hitting 1,000. I think it's just her mental game. She's done so much work there too that the physical part is coming even easier to her, which is crazy to say.
What's also crazy to me is like she's talked a lot the last couple of weeks about, you know, she struggled at the beginning of the season. I never thought she was struggling, but, you know, I think that also speaks, and Lindsay was on a couple of weeks ago and talked about that even when she plays as good as she plays, when she does maybe hit 1,000, she still finds things. I needed to do this better. Mm-hmm. I need to do this better. She's so hard on herself and, mm-hmm. and that she wants to be so great that even when we think it was really amazing, she can nitpick it, you know, and I think that speaks volumes to how she's been able to do what she's done, right?
Mm-hmm. She is a very physical, gifted athlete, and like we said, can get away with a lot. So even on her bad days, it's like, whew, she's still hitting the crap out of the ball, that's for sure. So like I said, it'd be really easy for her to just rely on that. But the growth she's made and kind of like a tougher preseason after like a coaching change, a new position coach, an awesome sophomore year, and thinking about, well, where do I go from here? I think she, like I said, has just worked so, so hard. And for her to now hold that record is just, I mean, there's no one more deserving. And she's just been great this year and made so much growth.
I think she'd be one of the first to give a lot of credit and props to Bergen Riley for setting her up for that as well. And Bergen today named not just the setter of the year in the conference for the third straight year, but the player of the year. What does that say that she was voted not just the setter, but also the player of the year in this conference?
I would say for Bergen, obviously she's a great setter and always has been, but this year she has been an awesome defender, an awesome blocker, one of our best servers, and I think just her whole well-rounded game is kind of what really pushed her to win that Player of the Year award as well. And I think a lot of people talk about our team. We have weapons at every single point of our offense, middle, opposite, outside, back row, setter. We have all these weapons, and like I think we talked about it the last week, and people can say her job's easy, where it's I just make a choice and I set. But I think even though it could be very easy for her, she's very cerebral, very into the game plan. How do we attack these teams and how do I manage my own team? And is just also a great leader. And obviously people can't see that from the outside, but I think just her well-rounded game and all of the skills is what kind of took her to the top. So again, she's worked super, super hard as well on all of those other skills. And even on setting, of course, the setters come every single day early. But I think just like her overall growth as a player and maturity, similar to Andy, has been really impressive.
Some people want to say that it's easy. But I think, again, talking with you and throughout this last couple of months, I think it's harder because if you have one player that you know, hey, we got to go to every time to win these matches, but she's got multiple and she's got to spread it around and she's reading, right, what's being given to be able to set up so many different people. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to what's going on in this offense. And it's more than just, hey, set somebody and get a kill. I mean, she's setting them up for a lot of that, right?
Yeah, and I think offense in general, there's so much that goes into it. Is my go-to player or the set that I know I can make not working right now? And I think with us striving to have a balanced offense, it forces not only our attackers but Bergen to feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. So for her to come off the net, it's really easy to set the left side. But if she knows in the back of her mind, wow, I've been setting left side a lot from this scenario, or if Danny or myself tell her, she has the ability to go opposite or go throw a quick into the middle. But that can also be really difficult to have that kind of mental checklist in your brain when it comes to a match, and then have the obviously technique and the lack of fear to be able to make these sets even when you're not feeling good as well.
Fascinating. All right, so how does it change now? Because, you know, you talked at the beginning that it seemed like you guys have been having a lot of fun, but there is a point where it's like, okay, let's get to the postseason. How does it all change, just the emotionally, mentally, all of that, when you flip that switch from, all right, regular season's done, now it's on to postseason?
There's a big flip in mentality just because we know every game we play could be our last, and every other team is feeling that exact same way. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of excitement, a lot of motivation to win. And even if it's just 1 point, that motivation and that energy is even higher. So for us, I think we're still trying to enjoy every single game. And even starting today with practice, it's just we need to be where our feet are, because it's very easy to look forward to the second round matchup, or to look forward to what's our regional look like, or when are we going to play and things like that, and look forward to the Final Four, especially being the number one seed. That's what's expected of us, you know? And so I think for us, it's just kind of flipping the switch to what's right in front of us right now. Is that a practice? Is that a lift? Is that a serve and pass or a match? Like, what's right in front of me, and focusing on that, because there's so many emotions and so many things to look forward to. And the regular season feels long because it is long. And then now the postseason, it goes by so fast. It's like the fastest 3 weeks of the year. So encouraging them to stay in the present moment, focus on what we can control, is always a really good key going into the tournament. And just a couple things that change is like our practices are timed some days. We can only have so many people out on the court. It's definitely a different feeling, even though we are lucky to be at home this weekend and hopefully next.
So does it change at all, too? And I know it'll probably be different, right, with how Danny approaches things. But, you know, it's every week we've come on here and we've talked about how good this team is, but yet there's things we want to get better at and we're focusing on in practice. Does that change now, or is it still like this week there's still things we got to focus on to be better when we take the court on Friday night?
I would say we're still focusing on what we can get better at, but a little bit less. And we talk a lot about the tournament and what is most important when it comes to winning a national championship. And at this point, are you technically going to get that much better or physically get that much stronger? Probably not. Like, there's some little tweaks you can make, and obviously if your mental game's sharp, then your technique is usually better. So there's some things that we can continue to work on, but at this point, it's kind of just the intangibles and the team that is gelling really well, the team that's healthy, the team that has a really good vibe and is super excited all tournament long and not nitpicking those small things is usually, in my opinion, the team that wins. So now it's kind of just focusing on, like I said, the intangibles and keeping everyone focused on the right things and not looking too far into the future and not dipping too far into, like, what can we get better at? I think it's a time to celebrate that what we've done thus far has been good enough to get us to where we are. And so we don't need to be anything too much better than that. Just make sure we're confident and we're excited and ready for the moment.
Health-wise, how fresh is this group?
I would say very fresh. I mean, we have a lot of different metrics that we look at every day and every lift. We do some jump testing. We have these catapult devices that measure their load and things like that. And I think they had lift maybe yesterday or not the day before, but someone had just set a PR. I think it was Bergen for her vertical. Wow. So in the postseason, December 1st, we're setting PRs, which is really cool. So I would say we train pretty hard, and we have gotten to the point where we try to mimic some 5-set matches just because we haven't had one of those in a very long time. So that is a big worry, not worry, but a point of concern for our staff of just if we do go to a 5-setter, what are we going to be like physically? But all of our numbers and our metrics and the things that we look at are all pointing to a very good direction. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, has it helped too that you have so much depth that there you've been able to call on like a Manio Beche and Ali Check that you can give some players some kind of rest time throughout a really grueling season?
Definitely. I think it's a great combo of what we just said, rest for some of our starters, but also getting those reps for our non-starters who we might need in the postseason. Or you never know what's going to happen, willing any injuries or anything like that. I always knock on wood because we hope not for us or for anyone in the tournament, but people have to be ready and your bench has to be ready to come in for the moment. So I think it's been a really good balance between break and also getting people ready. And I think we could go out there with any six from our team and feel really confident and feel really fresh and be excited to play.
So going back to that, what you just said about the conversation about potentially having a 5-set match, being that it hasn't been since what, September, how do you guys feel? I mean, you feel pretty good that this team could handle something like that?
I think so, because I think once you get into the tournament, even if you're physically tired, obviously you're going to have a little bit of a harder time, but I think it's more of the mental fatigue that kills teams at the end rather than the physical. And I think we have a team who is mentally ready. They really want to win this national championship and go far in the postseason. And I'm just a big believer in if your mentality, your intangibles, your team, all of those things are good for 3 weeks, then you're going to win. So I think even if we hit some little physical hiccups or people get tired, and like we talked about with our offense, obviously we can kind of mix it up if we need to, if someone's getting a little bit gassed, and we have good recovery between games when it gets to the regional. So it's always a concern, but I think we train hard and we've been preparing them for probably the last month to go 5 sets. So I think hopefully we'll be okay.
Good stuff. All right. So Long Island University up first. Have you guys done much prep on them? What does that matchup look like on paper?
Yeah, they have a really good opposite. She's pretty tall. They set her a lot of balls. Other than that, you know, they're pretty balanced. And so, the thing about the first round is that they're always so fired up to come in here and to come play in Devaney. So I think it'll be a very energetic, a very gritty match, and it'll be a good matchup for us. And then, I think they're not as physical as the teams that we've been playing, but their opposite's pretty tall. She's pretty good. And then they've got some good outside hitters as well.
And then how do you guys go about it? I think we talk about this every year, but just a reminder for folks, when you're preparing for something like this where you don't necessarily know who you're going to play, how do you guys go about, again, prepping a team and as a staff prepping yourselves when you don't know who you're going to even play mm-hmm. on Saturday, you know?
Yeah, we take a look at both of those teams that we might play on Saturday, assuming we win, and honestly kind of try and find, is there anything similar that we can do to prepare that both teams do? Maybe they have a dominant left side who hits the same shot, or like they don't set their middles as much, so we can kind of loosen up our help on the middles and things like that. It's a lot of looking for themes, because we'll deep dive into each team. So we're coaches are scouting all three teams. But for our players, we want to keep it pretty, not general, but just not information overload. So it's trying to find common themes or anything weird that any of the teams do. But we'll prep probably our second matches the first few days, and then we go back to our first match against LAU as we get closer to playing them. So it'll just be a little bit more general concepts and things like that.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about it. And again, all season, this team is, I think it's been really refreshing. They've embraced the expectations. They speak boldly about what they want to achieve. Well, it all starts Friday. So in order for this team to make the special run that they've been preparing for all season, what needs to start? How does it need to start coming up on Friday?
I think just our mindset, and we talked a lot about serving. I think that's a great way to see how ready the team is and how confident they are. So I think service pressure is going to be huge. I think defense and passing, like, can we ball control really well? Because that's something that you have to do against any team that you play, is when the ball's on your side, am I playing it nice and high where we can go and set, or am I just getting it up and having to fight for every single point? So I would say serving, ball control from an actual volleyball standpoint. But I think just the biggest thing to me is how do we move on when we lose a point? Or how does an individual player move on when they lose a point? Because it's going to happen, and we're not very used to dropping sets any lately, at least. And so I think, how are we going to respond if that does happen to us? And that'll be the biggest test. And can we be rock solid with our mental game if and when that does happen?
Great stuff. As always, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck as it all gets run. You excited? How do you feel personally going into the postseason? Like, does it feel different every year?
It's a little bit. It's very exciting, but it's kind of just like, all right, every game means more now. And mm-hmm. you can feel that pressure whether you think you do or not. I'm sure I'll look at my Aura ring this week and it'll be like, your stress is off the charts. I'm like, I feel fine. But no, it's exciting. I'm excited for them, and I want them to feel confident and excited as well.
Well, best of luck. And again, thanks for your time. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys out there on Friday night.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Kelly and Ed are here with us on this postseason edition of The Dig. Emeritus is proud to power The Dig and all of Husker women's sports. Thanks for listening and watching.